Okay, all right. We're on be on part five tonight of The One True God. This is Wednesday evening, 5/17/23. The name of God that we'll be looking at today is the Lord our strength. How is He our strength? We're going to look at that tonight. First one, we're going to look in a few Psalms. Psalms chapter 8. Starting with verse 1 there, it says, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who hast set thy glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, and the beast of the field, the fowl of the air, and the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passes through the paths of the seas. O Lord our God, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. So he has ordained strength to still the enemy. All right, firstly, he's given us dominion over all the works of his hands. As we're taking dominion, we encounter squatters that don't want to leave. And they try to fight and keep what they've stolen from us, right? Now what goes on? Yeah. All right. With that, turn to Psalms 84. Verse 1, how amicable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts! My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. My heart, my flesh crieth out for the living God. Yea, the sparrow hath found a house, and the swallow a nest for herself, or she may lay her young, even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will be still praising thee, Selah. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, and whose heart are the ways of them, who passing through the valley of Baca make it a well. The rain also filleth the pools. They go from strength to strength. Every one of them in Zion appeareth before God. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer, give ear, O God of Jacob, Selah. Behold, O God our shield, and look upon the face of thine anointed, for a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and shield, the Lord will give grace and glory, no good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee. I wanted to key in on that. They go from strength to strength. Sometimes it doesn't seem that way, does it? You're just dragging through, just trying to make it through each attack or whatever the case may be. Well, that's not the way it's supposed to be. I looked up the word strength there in the Strong's. It means a force, an army, wealth, virtue, valor, able, activity, plus an army, company, forces, goods, host, might and power, riches, strong, substance, valiant, virtuous, war, and worthy. Those are all positives, right? Strength. Yeah, thought that was pretty good. I'm thinking, wow, that one word means all those things. He wants us to go from strength to strength, not from weakness to weakness, right? All right, flip back. I try to keep these in line, but anyway, to 28, Psalms 28. This is 28, 7 and 8. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, have mercy also upon me and answer me. When thou saidest, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. So what's that got to do with strength? Because he is our strength. He's the one that gives us the strength. We go from strength to strength. Do we see an attitude here? Kinda?
You read Psalm 27 there.
Did I? I sure did. Well, I was thinking, well, okay. All right, it's 28, not 27. Okay. Well, hey, I had to make at least one mistake, or y'all would think it wasn't me. Right? All right, 28, 7, and 8. Sorry. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoiceth, and with my song will I praise him. The Lord is their strength, and he is the saving strength of his anointed. That does sound better, doesn't it? Fit better? See, this is an attitude here. We know where our strength comes from. And it's not in ourselves. It's not in our flesh. But we have everything to do with it, right? Whether we engage it or we don't. Yeah. Okay. We can give into the weakness if we decide to. All right, with that, turn to Nehemiah, which y'all probably know what this one already says before I get there. Well, let me find him. All right, there he is. 8. Nehemiah 8:10. Then he said unto them, go your way, eat the fat, and drink the sweet, and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto our Lord. Neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. So the Levites stilled all the people, saying, hold your peace, for the day is holy. Neither be ye grieved. And all the people went their way to eat and to drink and to send portions and to make great mirth, because they had understood the words that were declared unto them. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Think about that. The force of joy. I think as Jerry Savelle said, if the devil can't take your joy, he can't take your stuff. It's all about an attitude here. You know, if you'll just probably gauge yourself when things come against you and you kick it into another gear, and you get up and do stuff or whatever and get a right attitude, you notice it's gone, right? But if you don't, you get down in it. Yeah. Makes a big difference. What does it mean to walk by faith? All right, it means to walk by what you believe in, God, and not by how you feel. Right? If we believe God is all these things, then we will have the right attitude. Feelings are sight. We walk by faith and not by sight. To walk in joy is to walk as if you really believe what God's word says is true. Now, no matter what the circumstances, right? To walk by faith is to walk by the fact that his word is true. And you're moved by what his word says and not by what you're facing. Okay. If we walk by how we feel, we will be in a bad mood most of the time. What does faith do? It reminds us of what God has already done so that we can be joyful no matter the temporary circumstance we are in. Have I located anybody here tonight? In the walk of faith, we're going from glory to glory, so the scripture says, not misery to misery. If you gauge by how you feel, it'll be misery to misery. If you gauge it by what God's word says, it'll be from glory to glory. All right, this is 2 Corinthians 3:18. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, or change into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Well, you know what? You can't go around saying, well, I'm nothing, and I don't have no power, and I never do anything right, and expect to be a reflection of God's glory. But if you believe what he says you are in the Word, then you will be, right? All right? How does God do it? How did he do it in Genesis 1, 1 through 3? When he saw the mess that the world was in, what did he do? He spoke what he wanted, and he got what he wanted. He did it by faith, right? Okay. How does Jesus do it? He took the disciples out there, and he was hungry, and he walked up to the fig tree. He cursed the fig tree. Nobody ever eat fruit from you again. Did he have something against the tree? No, I believe he's trying to teach them a lesson. And the next day, Peter notices, Master, the tree which you cursed is dried up. And then Jesus begins to tell them, Mark 11, 22, 23, and 24, say unto this mountain, be removed, be thou cast into the sea. Shall not doubt in his heart. You have whatever you say. He was trying to teach them a lesson here. Hebrews 12. Let's go over there. This is verses 1 and 2. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. See, the joy of the Lord is your strength. How did he get through it? Right there. What was he looking at? He wasn't looking at what he was going through. He was looking at the end result. Us. That's what he was looking at. He couldn't have made it any other way. Let me read that again. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, he couldn't have been looking at the cross. He couldn't have been looking at the thorns on his head. He couldn't have been looking at the stripes on his back, right? He couldn't have been looking, walking down that road and stumbling, carrying that heavy cross on a back that looked like hamburger meat. That couldn't have been what he was looking at. He endured the cross, despising the shame. He hated what he was in, just like you hate what you're in. And he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. In other words, he says, you have not resisted unto blood, striving against sin. He did. Yeah. I can't even imagine in my mind how it must have been. I mean, I know the things I go through, and I think sometimes, Lord, I just don't see how I can do it anymore. You know, you get to those places sometimes. But to think he's never required something like that. I think about even Peter, when he told Peter, there'll be a day when somebody takes you by the hand and takes you where you do not want to go. Peter was crucified, and Peter knew what he was going to go through. Oh, thank God for Jesus. All right. What joy could be in what he went through for us, seeing us going from strength to strength? How could he do it? I don't know. Only God knows. His focus. He looked at the promise. He looked at what would be fulfilled. He didn't look at what he was going through. So that's why we cannot focus on what we're going through. We have to focus on the end result. That's the manifestation of our faith, right? What we're believing God for, what we're trying to accomplish through all of it. All right. 1 Peter chapter 1, here, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now, for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. There's nothing you go through that the Lord doesn't see, and when you pass the test, I believe it's a reward for doing so, for standing. And when you've done all to stand, you know. When your car is out of gas, what do? You refuel. When you're out of joy, what do? Rejoice. Refuel, rejoice. That's how you do it. All right. Revelation chapter 3. Verse 7. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man openeth. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet, to know that I have loved thee. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Hold fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Okay. Colossians chapter 1. There's a lot of good scriptures. These are just a few. Colossians 1 verse 9. This is the Colossian prayer, and that's one that I, during the weekdays, I say that over me and my partners. It says, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power. See, he's the God of our strength. Unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness. With all patience and longsuffering and joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, who has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. This prayer is wonderful. It is, very much so. In trials, the human thing to do is to complain, be sad, and tell everyone about it. We want everybody to know the trouble we've seen. Ever been around people? That's all they do. Let's tell you about it, you know? Faith calls those things that be not as though they are. That means Christians in a trial rejoice, right? Like I've said before, I don't want anyone to know how it is. I want them to look at me and think, they ain't got a problem in the world. Man, they got it all together. And it's the truth. What's feelings got to do with it? Nothing. It has to do with failure, becoming weak in your mind, fainting in your mind. All right. Let's look at a few more scriptures. Exodus. Which scripture is it that talks about the feeble knees, strength in your hand? Is that James? Where is that? Well, it must be at the end of the chapter. Okay, I read the first part of it. All right, Exodus 15. They're talking about making straight paths for your feet, you know, because when you get goofed up in your head, you lose your way. All right. Exodus 15:2. The Lord is my strength and song. He has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare him a habitation. My Father's God, and I will exalt him. I have a song the Lord gave me about preparing a throne for him to sit upon. Okay, Psalms, did I read, let me look, see, Psalms 22. There's a bunch of it in the Psalms. 22 verse 3. But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. The church is Israel. And anyone else that's born again, whether they be Jew or Gentile, doesn't make any difference. Not anymore. All right. If you want God to show up like he did for Paul and Silas, what did they do in their worst conditions? They'd been beaten, put in stocks. They were singing hymns to God, praising God. The prison was shaken. Their bonds were loosed. Everybody wants those moments where, you know, Daniel going into the lion's den and the lions just lay down and he slept on them as pillows. We want those moments, but the preceding part of it, going into the fire, going into the lion's den. Well, you got to go through that part to go to the other part, right? Psalms, I read you 28:7. Maybe that's what I already read that. We don't need to read that again. Just like Maverick going to gun zone with the first sign of trouble, need to go to joy zone, praise zone, stay away from complaining zone. All right, I'm going to read you some scriptures now, just a few. Old and new. Psalms 31:4. Just want to encourage y'all, hang in there. God is overseeing everything, and if we will stay in the right mindset, he's going to bring us through it. 31:4, pull me out of the net that they have laid privily for me, for thou art my strength. Boy, if that doesn't fit to them today, I don't know what is. Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, the very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. You know, they're saying we're already in new earth. I'm going, well, what happened to the earth, you know, melting with in the firmament melting and all that, like the scriptures say. I'm going, where do y'all get this garbage? Though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, there is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her in that right early. The heathen raged. The kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice. The earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Come, behold the works of the Lord. What desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth a chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Nothing's changed. He doesn't change. He's always there. He always will be. All right, Psalms 81:1. Sing aloud unto God our strength. Make a joyful noise unto the God of Jacob. When I get at certain times, I turn on Bethel worship. That'll pull you out of it. Okay, Psalms 118. Verse 14. The Lord is my strength and song, and it's become my salvation. The voice of rejoicing and salvation is in the tabernacles of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord doeth valiantly. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord doeth valiantly. I shall not die but live and declare the works of the Lord. The Lord hath chastened me sore, but he hath not given me over unto death. You may feel like you're dying, but it ain't happening. Okay, Isaiah chapter 12. Verse 2 and 3. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also is become my salvation. Therefore, with joy shall he draw water out of the wells of salvation. And in that day shall ye say, praise the Lord, call upon his name, declare his doings among the people, make mention that his name is exalted. Sing unto the Lord, for he hath done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. Cry out and shout, the inhabitant of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee. All right, let's go to the New Testament. Romans 5. Get a drink here. Verse 1, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations, also knowing that the tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we now have received the atonement. You know, you really have to admit that when you first began, everything just got you bent out of shape. But over all these years, what the Lord has taught, you can see how much you gained in strength, your endurance, to walk through things. What that's talking about right there. All right, go to Philippians chapter 2, 12. Okay, verse 12. Therefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmuring and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. For the same cause also do ye joy and rejoice with me. Sounds like he wants us to be joyful, doesn't it? The joy of the Lord is your strength. Okay, Philippians 3, 1 through 3. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed, is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision. For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. None whatsoever. Philippians 4. Let me read this one. This is a good one. This is 3:13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth into those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Keeping our, always looking forward, not letting the devil try to pull us to look in the back. You know, go to, never go down memory lane with not too good memories. All right, Philippians 4:4. Rejoice. That's how you refuel your joy. Rejoice in the Lord always. See, you'll never have, I always keep my gas tank pretty well full. If it gets down to a fourth, I go fill it up. Well, we need to be that way on our joy tank. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing. That's what drains your joy right there. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God which passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, doing the God of peace shall be with you. You know, it's what you're thinking about. You can be happy or sad. It's just simply a choice. It's kind of like, count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. You can't do that for very long. You start talking about the things that God has done and thanking Him for the little things that you see everywhere all around you. Come up out of that funk. All right, 1 Thessalonians 5. This is a little scripture. Rejoice evermore. All right, 1 Peter 4. First Peter 4:12. That's why people don't make it through trials. Is there, they get to the on the negative side of it. All right. 1 Peter 4:12. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fire trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you. I spoke about this Sunday about being fired upon. If you're doing a good warfare. But rejoice, inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when His glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part He is evil spoken of, but on your part He is glorified. You know what this means? It means whenever this happens, you're right on target. I've been saying that for a few days. Lord, I must be right over the target. When we rejoice in adversity, God becomes our strength. You can run around in your car with my little hairdresser. She says, my husband gets on me all the time. He's older than her. And she'll wait till and they live kind of outside of town, and she'll wait till she knows she's got just enough in her tank to just barely make it to the gas station, or barely make it. She says, why do you do that? Why don't you keep your tank full? She said, I don't know how many times I've had to call him. Well, I'm out of gas again, you know. You don't ever have to be out of gas. You just, let me read that again, what I said. What did I say? Do y'all remember? It's in the first page. When you're out of fuel, you refuel. And when you're out of joy, you rejoice. Right.